Don't Panic is a new comedy podcast from Wondery that leans into our most absurd anxieties and diffuses them with humor and actual advice. Listen to Don't Panic on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is a man who once got into a huge fight with me over cheese. I can't even believe it. Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Well, hello, Ben. How are you, darling? It's a monumental day.
Monumental. By the way,
is it monumental or monumentous?
It's momentous or monumental. But by the way, momentous. We never got into a fight about cheese. I just want everyone to know. It was just a lame tie-in. We would get into a silent fight about cheese. We will. I don't know the context of it, but it'll be hilarious.
Yeah, don't put it past us. I'll fight you about cheese. I'll fight anybody for cheese.
Absolutely. Sorry, but you were about to say today is a monumental day on the podcast.
It's the day we're going to fight over cheese. I feel it coming.
It's coming.
It's not every day we get to watch a new Housewives. In the past couple of years we have, we got Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Real Housewives of Dubai most recently, which wasn't great. Salt Lake City didn't have the best start either, but has gotten great. Maybe Dubai will too. But it's a new one, and this one's huge. People are going crazy over this one. How did you feel, Ben? Real Housewives of New York, season one.
People on Twitter are loving this. They're loving the new rebuff, the reboot of New York. And they're so happy that I don't think my opinion even matters. So, Ronnie, what did you think?
I loved it. I did love it. I think it is a little bit suspicious that everybody loves it. I think that that's a little bit weird. Bravo.
Enthusiastic.
I'm accusing Bravo. I don't know what I'm accusing them of. Paying people off.
I definitely thought there were some bots. Last night, I'm not going to lie. I was looking at the tweets and I was like, are these people bots? Because then I clicked on some of them and I was like, no, they're not bots. People are like genuinely enthusiastic. I kind of feel like sometimes people are posting, hoping that like Bravo will retweet them and put it in their commercials. That's the cynic in me. But it seems like people genuinely really, really loved this premiere. I'm glad you loved it too.
I really did, you know, and I haven't been paid off. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. A lot of people we know seem to really like it. I liked it. I wasn't gagging, as the kids say today. Oh my God, I was gagging. Remember in the 80s when that was bad? You're like, gag, oh my God, gag me. Gag me is the spin. Yeah, now people are like, I'm gagged. So weird. how things like come around. They're like, we're changing the meaning of words. So suck it, old man. Okay? It's not what it means anymore. We're just going to confuse the old queens. Okay? Yeah. That's what we're doing now with language. Anyway, I thought it was pretty good, but I wasn't like gagged. But I did like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was funny.
Go on.
You can be negative. I don't care. But listen, here's what I need. Housewives that marinate and then become fucking crazy later on. So I think we should make some predictions. Jenna, crazy. You can tell she's crazy. She has crazy face. She has crazy reactions. Her resting crazy face. She has RCF, resting crazy face, which is this. I'm going to do it right now for anyone on Crappens on Demand. It's this. She like sticks her front teeth
crazy
out.
Face.
Yeah, she has like sticks her front teeth out, and then her eyes are always like kind of wandering around, like squinting, like confused about her surroundings, but also very self-assured. I read a bunch of articles on Reddit and stuff. Thank you, Bravo Real Housewives. But I read a bunch of articles about what a monster she was when she was at J. Crew.
I love that.
And all of that. So I am looking forward to her becoming absolutely insane. Marinate in the crazy. Is what I need from you. That's what I need from you.
I am looking forward to the craziness coming out of any of them. I think Jessel is going to be, I think she's one to watch as like being an awful person. She is so cold to her family. She is like ice cold and so mean. And then when Jenna shows up, she's like all smiles. She keeps on saying things like, "Oh, my Jenna. I'm like, you little kiss ass. You're such a fucking kiss ass. It makes me so happy that when I did a Google search for her, like all these articles that came up with the headline, Jessel Tank throws up all over the New York premiere. Cause apparently she got food poisoning, which is sucks. But like, it's such a mean headline where she kept on saying like she threw up all over the premiere. She even threw up on the red carpet. I was like, okay, so Jessel works in publicity and these headlines are so mean, which means that she is probably pissed off so many reporters. She's probably a nightmare to people below her, and she's a kiss-ass to people above her. I hate those people in real life, but I do see a lot of upside for her being a terrible person on this show. So I'm excited about that. Bryn, honestly,
I think your call on Jessel is absolutely correct. She is really nice and kiss-assy to those above her, and she's an asshole to those below her.
She's so mean.
And it's so funny watching her try to figure out in this group who she's above and who she's below.
Yes.
I mean, she has like very... very like psychological. You can watch, you know, like human behavior videos on YouTube and see shit about her, like never looking people in the eye. She's always looking down and kind of around, like she's lying or scheming, mm-hmm. or there's something going on with her, and you don't trust her mostly because she's a PR person. No offense, PR people.
Yeah,
okay, that's true. We love you. I get it too. You know, also, I'm an absolutely fabulous kind of a man. I love that show, and that's all about a PR person and all. So anyway, agree with what you said about her. Can't wait. I think she's going to be one of the most entertaining shitsters and backstabbers among these ladies. Okay.
That's going to come out. Bryn. Okay. So on Twitter, people were like, Bryn, oh my God, already iconic. Cause she says something at one point. She says like something horrors. Like, I forget what it is, but she has like some throwaway comment and people on Twitter are like, oh my God, Bryn is already iconic. I'm like, okay, I'm going to say slow your roll to anyone being iconic on the show, except for Jenna. Jenna has already like put in the groundwork to being iconic because she literally has a whole other TV show that's based on her on HBO Max. So like, I'll allow that for Jenna. But Bryn, I'm sorry. She's literally done nothing iconic this episode except speak in baby voice. And honestly, be like not that interesting. I don't think that Bryn is interesting so far. She seems like a Meg Tilly character, which actually might be or Jennifer Tilly character. It could be a Meg Tilly character too.
You're basically selling this
character. I know. I realized right I started now. To go the other way.
Positively pitching this character to me? Because I'm sold. I will purchase this character. All the IP.
I don't see what like people on Twitter are loving about her. She's the one who feels the most aware of the cameras and most manufactured for the cameras. So I don't love her yet. What do you
think
about
that.
Her?
I do love her. She's my favorite kind of character. And like the girl who talks like that, like when she's just like trying to be fun, but then she talks deeper when she's like getting really serious about things. You know, I like that. She's really charismatic. She's really beautiful. And she is just here to start shit with people. She knows the assignment. And she's kind of like a Kyle Richards, but with charisma and a personality.
Wow.
So I appreciate that. She's going to start a cheese fight. She's going to do it. She doesn't care.
Then we have Erin. Erin is like sort of Jennifer Aniston-y in her looks, and
she's like Jennifer Aniston playing Landon from Southern Charm.
Yes,
or vice versa.
And I think it would be the first way, because Jennifer Aniston's an actress and she loves a challenge,
right? And then you're like, why is she making Landon's voice? Landon really talks like this. But then when she does it like this. It's like, wait, why are you giving Landon so much gravitas, ma'am?
So Erin, you know, she seems fine. She seems like a little, I get the sense from Erin that she thinks she's a little more awesome than she is, right? Which is, you know, like a nice, like it's a shred of delusion that I'm looking for. Like there's one part where she goes, you guys are looking for the real New York. Here it is. I was like, oh yes, the real New York as represented by like six women in lavish, you know, homes that cost millions of dollars in designer clothing who will never walk into a McDonald's.
Yeah, I lived in New York 10 years, never really saw. Well, I did see that side when I was cater waitering. Okay, mm-hmm. I did see that side. That's not the real New York. Okay, the real New York would punch you in the face before they let you take the corner off of a piece of cheese. OK, Okay, yeah. I'll tell you that much right now. I do like her. I think that she's so confident because she comes from such a big, loving family. And I think that that can go to the detriment of people. I think that you shouldn't be too nice to your children. And you should definitely not tell your children they're talented and they're like the best thing ever. Because like my parents did it and I'm a delusional fuck. Like I'm literally crazy. And I think that that's what happened with her. I think she's had too much love in her childhood. And she really believes her parents. This is what I got. Because she's got that just kind of like...
She's got like narcissism. BDE. She has lady BDE, you know?
Okay. So I think I'm going to like her because she gets super defensive about everything and she's very serious. And I thought at first she was an interior designer, which I liked. She was like a serious interior designer that talks like that. But then I found out she's a real estate agent and she's still taking herself that seriously, which I also love. Because I feel like the real estate agents we see take themselves seriously, but they're also so like flashy and ridiculous. And I think she's like a more down-to-earth narcissist asshole, if that makes any sense. She's like making narcissism reachable. You know what? She's doing what Jenna Lyons did with J. Crew for narcissism. She's like making it wearable for everybody.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Like if she could make Michelle Obama a narcissist, she would make it available to her. So my concern with Erin is that I think that she thinks her shit is much more entertaining than it is. Like even when her kids come out with we'll get to it, but I don't know. Like I'm a little TBD, but I sort of like her. And then there's Sai. Sai, I think, is good because her name represents how I feel when she's on screen. I sigh because I'm finding her kind of boring so far, but she dresses really well. I'm hoping that there's going to be more to her than what we've got. I mean, I'm not obviously coming from a super positive place from this premiere, but I want to give it time to get up and going, because it was very much an episode of like meeting everyone. So the narrative flow wasn't really there for me and I didn't really find anyone to be terribly compelling or interesting. But Sai so far was a little meh to me, but you know, she has potential to grow. What did you think?
I liked her. I mean, look, I like it. I know that New York is your baby. That's like your little baby. Real Housewives of New York is your favorite. It's your baby angel. Like even during the worst of times, you will hold on to that raft and you will just write. I mean, I remember during the Jill Zarin days, I was like, fuck this show. I can't take this. This is the most toxic shit I've ever seen. Like I walk away from this show feeling horrible. I want to cry. I want to crawl up. And you were like, no, it's amazing. Like no matter what happens, as bad as it gets, you will always love New York. And, you know, this is basically like Bravo punching your baby in the face and sending it to the back of the line.
But that's why I didn't. It is. Yes. But that's also why I didn't want to come out of the negative closet on this episode, because I felt like people would that would be where people would go first, which is like, oh, well, you just love the old one. You can't let go of the old one. And it's like, no, I actually really tried to have an open mind about this. And in fact, like when I first started watching it, I even texted you and said, oh, my God, they're having a fight about cheese. And I was like very excited about that. But I was like really just not into this premiere. I found it to be kind of like very meh. But I'm going to like, I'm putting a pin in it because maybe in the next episode, it'll come together more for me after like the introductions. But I felt like we already had to like go to party games. I don't know. The energy just was not there for me.
I'll get to that. Yeah. We'll argue a lot on this one. This will be fun because we'll disagree on stuff. But even the party game I felt was justified because Jenna Lyons is one of the most awkward people I've ever seen. And she is a person who can whip out a little card that she's had her gay prepared with things to ask people, you know? Like, okay. I feel like this is a time where this actually works because she needs it, you know?
That's an interesting point. So, I think that overall, my first impressions of, like, the premiere is that it didn't really take me into a world that I cared about, if that makes sense. Like I feel like a lot of times, like all the Real Housewives, they allow us to peek inside some sort of microcosm or space that we don't have access to. So like in New Jersey, it's like in this Italian family, or like in Beverly Hills, this is what it looks like, you know, these former child stars all trying to like the B-list, C-list actors. And this is what it looks like in Atlanta. And this is what it looks like in Potomac, even in Dallas. And I feel like here I'm like getting a look into a world that I just see on Instagram already. So I think I'm just like not like there's no excitement for me there. But I, again, I'm really trying very hard, even though I had an extremely negative reaction to the premiere, I'm really trying hard to push through it. And I'm also not trying to yuck on anyone's yum, because I know a lot of people really enjoyed this.
Too late. Say, just shit all over the ice cream cone, man. Okay.
I will say, like, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had like this moment of realization that this cast, they also just did like a full on carbon copy of the Dubai cast, in a sense, because first they have a cast member who's known to the audience already. So you have Jenna Lyons and you have Caroline Stanbury. And then they have someone who's an influencer. So you have Psy, as you had Nina. You have a real estate person, which is Erin. And Caroline Brooks is in real estate. That's what she does. You have someone who works in fashion, but with small children. So that's Jessel and Lisa Milan. And you have someone who has sort of like a nebulous career. So that would be Bryn, and that would be Sarah. And then you also have an East African model, who in this case are actual cousins. You have Uba and Chanel. I mean, that's kind of crazy. It's literally the same. They just basically took the template from Dubai and put it onto New York.
Yeah, they did. Uba's great, by the way. She's last but not least on this list. She is so charming and wonderful and sweet. I really liked her.
She is sweet.
I mean, look, I watched it. I was shocked that I was prepared to hate its guts, and I laughed. I thought it was really fun, and I can see where all of these people can go crazy in the future, and that's really all I need. You know, it's a crazy garden. You just plant the crazy seeds, and I've seen some crazy seeds, and the crazy seeds have been planted, and I'm ready to see where it goes. So let's get started. Do you want to do tag lines, or do you want to just jump right in?
You know what? Let me pull up the taglines, because I forgot to write them.
I'll text them to you.
Send them to me. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll start.
You start them up.
Get to it. So we start with Bryn. I love to laugh, but make me mad, and I'll date your dad.
I have to say, I do really enjoy that tagline. It's like very deranged.
I do too. Like, what the fuck is that? What does it mean? And they explain to you what it means in the coming this season clips. And she's referring to Aaron's dad, because I guess her and Aaron start fighting and she threatens to bang Aaron's dad or something.
Yes. Okay, we have Aaron, who says, I'm a true New Yorker. The only bull I'll take is by the horns. I think that's pretty good, actually. I like that wordplay.
And then Jenna is like,
hey, I was being positive about something.
Listen, we're not. Don't go any further with this recap if you need to hear people agree. We're going to literally disagree on everything. I just feel it coming. Because that, I thought, I was like, you can do better, Aaron. Like, come on. I'll only take the bull by its horns. Come on. Mm-hmm. Haven't we just heard that? Or did I just hear it because these were released last week and I heard it? Maybe I just heard it last week and I'm already mad about hearing it again, even though it's from the show that I heard it from last week. I don't know. So Jenna's like, my lashes may be fake, but I definitely try to keep it real. I was like, what? Your lashes? Jenna, nobody's looking at your lashes, and this is how I know you're crazy. You needed the most basic housewives bullshit line because you're too crazy to explain in one sentence.
Well, she her whole thing is she has actually like a condition where she has no eyelashes. So she sells.
Is that true?
Yeah, she sells fake eyelashes for people who have that condition.
Oh,
or just,
so it's not just a basic housewife line. She actually has a lash industry.
She has a lash industry, and it's tied to that. Yeah, so
case, you go, girl. I thought it was just like, hey, my Chanel may not look real, but it is.
But I thought it was one of those. But yeah, there's more wordplay than apparent that's there. But if you don't,
good for her.
If you don't know anything about Jenna, then yeah, it probably is like, okay, so she wear fake lashes, great. Okay, no, Jessel's,
you know, am I right?
Yeah, so Jessel's is, I always bring the flavor. It's not my fault that you don't have any taste. I like that, actually. Even though I'm prepared to hate her.
Yeah, pretty cute.
Yeah, I like that.
And I like Housewives of New York telling us how we don't have any taste. Like Ramona's, you know what? I'm an acquired taste. So if you don't like me, acquire some taste, okay? Like, if you don't like me, it's your fault, you know? And I like that. So Psy is like, in New York, there's a lot of bad apples, but I'm the baddest of the bunch. And then she turns around and she's wearing a boxing robe that says Psy on it.
Huh.
I don't know.
I just generally have an issue. I don't know. Like the whole like I'm the baddest apple of the bunch. I don't know. I don't know why that doesn't ring true for me. But, you know, okay. And then Ubuzz is the secret ingredient, darling, it's me. It's like, oh, okay. Cuz I guess she has her hot sauce. Uba hot.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Looking for love? I'm Jujubee, and on this season of Queen of Hearts, we're going all the way down to sunny, sexy Miami. I'm setting up the hottest singles in South Florida. Maybe I can find them their perfect partner, or someone to fulfill their sexiest fantasies.
A man who unconditionally loves me and is a raging feminist, and then ties me up, rubbing oils on me, then surprise, gets a girl to lick my and another guy to put it in my and has a huge...
But remember, there's a twist. No one can see each other until the very end. Cameras on.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Woo. Got me blessed.
Follow Queen of Hearts on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app now, or you can listen ad-free by subscribing to Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
So let's go start at the beginning. So I got this new camera that I'm trying out over here. First of all, the main plot of the show is my new camera. And it sticks onto my screen because I'm trying to be more engaged in my life. So I'm trying to like look at you more and be in the screen more instead of looking all around. But my eyes can't stop looking all around because I'm used to looking up, you know? So if I look crazy today... That's why. So, also, I'm having to scroll my notes weirdly to get past this stupid camera that is now stuck right in front of my face. Okay, let's get on with it.
Your lighting looks wonderful.
Oh, thank you. So, overhead shot of New York City. And the producer's like, okay, so let's talk about the women, Bryn. And Bryn's there in like a pink crop top cutout string thing with puffy sleeves. And she's like, bitches and whores, next question. The really great moms. Really great moms. And she's one of those who does kind of the Jennifer Aiden posing thing as she talks, which I really love. One of my favorite characteristics to imitate.
I feel like Bryn goes and tells people, gays love me. So she says, I kind of feel like Satan's first wife. And then someone says, Bryn is definitely the fun girl. And then Jenna is like, I've never seen anyone weave flirting into everything that they do. Except for me with Michelle Obama. And then Aaron's
and
like...
And she does this thing. We see like little clips of them living their lives. And she's like, hi, I'm Bryn. I'm not married. And the guy's like, oh, hi. And someone says, that's the waiter. And she's like, and never mind. I was like... So what the fuck? You're going to not date him because he's a waiter? That's the first time I've seen somebody openly diss dating a waiter on the show. It's not nice.
This show has a pretty bad track record with waitstaff. I will always remember Dorinda going up to a guy in the restaurant and asking for like a cocktail. And he's like, I don't work here.
Yeah, she asked him to take her coat or something. The black guy, remember? Yes. That was so fucking offensive. And I love that this is like Bravo's... escape from all the problematic shit that happened on the original New York. So they even opened with the scene that's the opposite of that. It's someone mistaking someone, a black guy, for not being a waiter. I was like, wow, you guys are really changing it up for this one. I love it. I love the new direction.
And then Aaron says, Bryn is taking the fun meter from here to here. Now, okay, I have a complaint, which is I understand that why they have to do this. Of course they have to do this, but I feel like they work overtime to convince us about how fun they are. So many times in this episode, they're like, we are just so fun. We are a fun group. Look at us, a group of fun people. Isn't that fun? I'm like, okay, listen, okay. I will accept it that you guys are fun, but please, you don't have to beat me over the head with it.
Well, also, she's not very convincing because of the way she does it, like from here to here. So she goes, I mean, she takes a fun meter from here to here. I'm like, that's just literally the same level. It's like a windshield wiper, you know, from the left to the right. You know? I need it to be like down here and then up here. She takes a meter up, but not just the same level. So then we see Jenna, who's, you know, they start all talking about Jenna. Okay, Jenna's going to get in trouble for touching people inappropriately. That is another thing I will say right up front. They showed us two shots in this episode, right here at the beginning. One is of her grabbing Aaron's butt, and there's another one of her grabbing Aaron's boobs, I think, or something, which is all fun and games until right now on in the world. People are going to get mad at you. I'm just predicting people are going to get pissed. Let's see.
So the first testimony we hear about Jenna, and I didn't know who said it, because at that time it was just voices, I couldn't place them, but we hear someone go, "We look in magazines and we see Jenna and she's a boss bitch." They love saying boss bitch on the show. Girl boss, boss bitch. She is such a boss bitch, bitch boss. Oh my God, love her.
And the, let me see, we see what a boss bitch she is, because she's putting, she's pointing things out to a photographer. She's like looking through the little viewer lens or whatever. And she's like, "Yeah, I like candles. Okay, but you like need to light the candles also. And the model looks like a pie crust. Please start them on fire. Start the model on fire. I hate the model. Okay, move the candle over. I need the candle closer to the dish, because otherwise, I mean, I need to see both of those things."
It is literally about a candle. She's like, "Can you light the candles, please?" What a boss bitch lighting that candle.
Boss. See,
I guarantee,
this
by the way.
This little light up mine. I'm going to let it. Boss bitch. My candle's shining, bitch. I'm a boss.
By the end of this episode, by the end of this recap, I'm going to love this show, because we're going to be making fun of so many stupid things. I'll be like, okay, so I love it now.
I'm telling you, it's filled with so much gold. That just shot of her looking into the camera was cracking me up. So then we meet Jessel, and she's one of the housewives who succumbs to the big flower on the shoulder. I believe this was started by Sonia Morgan, the gigantic flower that's like bigger than your head sitting on the side of your shoulder. Those days are done. Okay, Jessel. I don't know how Jessel is in PR, and yet she's the one barfing all over the premiere and in the old flower, in the old one flower shoulder. I don't get it.
So Sai says, "Jessel's a publicist, and she'll remind you that she's a publicist at all times." And we see Jessel turning to a gay and saying, "I joined Michael Kors, and the first thing he said to me was, I need last look in Vogue." Is that what she said?
Yeah, I need the last look in Vogue.
And you see the gay is just sad. The gay is like, ugh, of all the women I could have attached myself to, this is who I did it to.
And then she goes, she's telling us about Jenna. And she's like, "Oh, Jenna, what a gift. I mean, there's just something about her, you know, she's a very unique person." And then we cut to Jenna and she's on her phone taking a picture in a baseball cap. I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. That lady just took a phone on her. She took a picture on her phone.
Wait a second. Did that boss bitch just put on a baseball cap and take a photo? How unique. A unique boss bitch.
Also, we see Jenna giving her dog coffee.
Sounds great.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't give
your dog coffee. Okay. Also, your dog's gonna poop everywhere. And then later in the episode, her goddaughter can't take the dog out because it's raining outside. And I was like, I hope this dog shits all over your house because you gave it coffee. You dumbass. Who does that?
Exactly. And so, like, in Jenna's show on HBO, like the whole show is she's like making her house. On top of, she's doing a lot of different things. It's like, it's actually the most unfocused show. It's like watching the antithesis of Bethany's show on HBO, where Bethany's like, all right, I need to find someone who's going to be my VP of whatever. Okay. Who you want to work for me? Okay. Like, do something. Okay. I'm going to judge you. Jenna's like, I need to hire someone. I don't know what for, but I think I want to hire someone, but I think that's going to happen. It's like, six episodes of her not even knowing what she wants to do. It's like,
it's like you're on Angie's List, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay. But she's like making her house in the meantime. So I'm like very invested in this house. So to know that this dog is going to be shitting all over it makes me very upset.
Yeah. But she does it all the time, I guess. Listen, you don't need to convince me you're wacky. I get it already.
Yeah.
So, Sai's like, okay, so we go to Sai. She's creator/influencer, which is worrisome. You know, I mean, I do think that that is a roadblock, really, for anybody, okay, in real life and on TV. And she's like leaning against a railing for a fashion shoot, because that's what you do. You go out to your fucking stoop, you know, like the girl on Married to Medicine, that lady, you know, who's always like, oh my God, I have so many boxes to open. My husband doesn't understand what it's like to have so many boxes to open.
Is that
chick's name?
Anila?
Yes, Anila.
So yeah, Sai is, so she's an influencer, and I actually try not to be too snobby. I'm like really trying to grow, guys, and I'm like trying not to be too snobby about influencers, because like there's not that much difference between, like, they're out there on social media doing stuff, you know, like they're making their money, like good for them.
They're salespeople. I'm more used to it now. I'm more used to it now.
But that being said, I still roll my eyes. And so Sai, the first thing that we see of Sai, she's like in a robe and she goes, "Do you know my name?" And then she turns around and it says Sai on the back of it. And I was like, I don't know why. I think it's prejudice against influencers. Despite everything I just said, I think I'm like prone. I'm really trying to like adapt my mindset of Real Girlfriends in Paris to Sai, because I was like so amused by the influencers on that show. And I just have to like change my mindset, you know?
So Aaron's like, so yeah, Ty on Instagram, like every picture of her is like pursed lips and posing, because like she looks like a huge bitch, and she can be a huge bitch, but not to me, so I still love her.
And then Uba goes, Sai is such a boss, like, and I think it has to do with height. She is such a boss. Is she like a boss bitch? No, just a boss. Oh my god, so we've got a boss and a boss bitch. Oh my god, iconic.
Boss bitch alert. Oh my god, hold on, I have a boss bitch alert on my phone. Hold on. Warning, boss bitch. Tiny boss bitch approaching.
Tiny boss bitch, not to be confused with tiny boss entering the arena.
So then we go to Uba's, and she lives in Columbus Circle, and she's a model / entrepreneur. Now this one also, they're not all from the Upper East Side, which is another huge difference. They're from all over the place, including Sai, who's from Brooklyn, which is really crazy.
Yeah,
like they're from all over the city, and the whole thing about being geographically desirable, that is a true thing. So I'm wondering how they're going to make all of this work, because remember how badly they looked down on Alex when she moved to Brooklyn? I know Brooklyn's different now, but there's still a bridge there.
It's still a trek, okay?
I think it's actually opposite now, where people in Brooklyn judge Manhattanites. And they're like, ew, Manhattan? Gross. What am I, a tourist or a worker bee? Fuck no. I'm staying at my metalworking shop here in Williamsburg. I've got coffee and wine built in. You know, fuck Manhattan.
Do you know how much I had to pay to push out the people who were living here so I could take it over and open up a coffee shop downstairs? I am not going to Manhattan.
Get back to work, people. Gentrification costs money.
Yeah, so Uba is in Columbus Circle. That is, by the way, Columbus Circle to Brooklyn is a bit of a journey,
That's
right?
Insanely. Yeah, it's an insane journey. Yeah, Central Park. But you know what, though?
Considering how much driving they have to do on Atlanta and also on Potomac, they have to drive all over to get to each other's house. It's about time the New York ladies put in some work.
But a traffic doesn't move in New York. There's no such thing as you just hop in a cab and get somewhere when you need to be. I mean, unless you wait until certain hours. I mean, you're either walking or you're going to get your ass in the subway. You know? I mean, like, I feel like the real representation of New York, like, poor people will get on the train because we're not stupid. Like, we know that it's the only way to get places during busy times. These people, there's going to be a lot of waiting for filming. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So Uba, so she lives in Columbus Circle. She's a gorgeous model. And Aaron's like, Uba is vivacious. And Bryn's like,
Uba's like larger than life. And like, she can be in like another borough and you can like hear her.
And so we see a model shoot. And the producer guy or the model shooter guy is like, what are you serving us, Uba? And she's like, chocolate, darling. So, yeah, she is a boss bitch too, guys. So then we go to Aaron. And Aaron's like, this is Aaron's descriptive. This is Aaron's descriptive line that they edited. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Wow. She's original voice. Jessel says, Evan likes to run the fucking show. Dare I say that she's a boss. She's a boss. She's a boss too. We're all bosses.
So then let's see. She's an interior. I wrote down interior designer. I learned later that I'm incorrect. So she lives in Tribeca. She's a real estate agent. And Jessel's like, Erin really likes to run the show. It's like, she hates her. I love it.
Yeah, Uba, because Uba wants to be that one. I think Uba really wants to be Jenna's number two, and there's probably going to be some friction as Aaron becomes her number two. So Uba's like, Aaron is a true New Yorker, and she's a straight shooter, and she's straightforward. And then Brynn is like,
Erin's like that friend that you like laugh your ass off like every time you're like together.
And then we find out that Erin is that snob who everything is about. Like, they're not even from the city, you know? Because she's telling, we see a clip of her telling her husband, that girl's not from this city, honey. And he's like, yeah. She goes, yeah, like a tourist.
Oh.
You know you live in a fucking tourist city, right?
Yeah. Okay.
You literally live in a neighborhood that was created by a movie star. Okay. That's trying to get tourists there all the time. Robert De Niro created that fucking neighborhood. Get over yourself.
You literally live in a neighborhood called Tribeca. If you think about that, that's not like, that's like someone saying to a girl named Becca, try. Just try, Becca.
Try, Becca. That's like a Jenna line from later in the season. Try, Becca.
Try. Just try. Just try. Can you just try to light the candle, Becca? Light the candle, Becca.
So then she falls on the ground and her shirt comes up and Jenna laughs and grabs her boobies and stuff, which I think is just like girl play. I'm just thinking it's funny because I'm just worried that someone's going to be like, oh my God, she's gay and she's grabbing people's boobs. And I'm hoping it doesn't happen. Even though I guess I've probably been the one who's been doing that, but I haven't been doing it in that way. I'm just like, I see danger ahead.
It would be terrible for such a boss bitch to be taken down by that. So this is where Erin goes, if you're looking for the real representation of New York, this is us. I was like, yeah, uh-huh. We'll wait for you. We're going to wait to see that scene where you guys ride the subway together.
Right. Okay, so let's see. That. Oh, by the way, the entire intro was spent taking pictures of themselves. Did you notice? Every scene was them either taking selfies together as groups or taking selfies as people or taking selfies as their job or Jenna taking pictures of herself or whatever's in front of her. A lot of selfie stuff, which we all knew was coming in this season. But I thought it was really funny that they leaned into it.
They really did. So now we start in properly. The show now is really ready to begin. And we're at Cy's brownstone in Brooklyn. This gorgeous brownstone. And she's telling her kids that there's going to be a play date because Brynn and Jessel are coming over. And the kids are like, we don't even know who those people are. Like, we actually barely even speak English right now.
The kids are on iPads, which is totally how I think kids should be. That is like the dream children, to only be on iPads at all times. And she's like, come on, guys. Like, what do we even do? The dishes in this house? I don't want people to think we don't do dishes, you guys. Okay, you're not going to be on the iPads when people are over here, okay? Guys, I rep Brooklyn all the way. I used to hang out on Flatbush with my little doobies with pins in them. And everything I had growing up is so different from my family now. Like, now I walk down these tree-lined blocks in Brooklyn, and I look through the windows, and I think, how do they even live here? Like, sometimes I see people looking through my windows, and I know that they're thinking, like, wow, look at her now. I was like, whoa. You know, there's like being an influencer, and then there's just being way too comfortable with fucking perverts staring into your window. Okay? Close your fucking windows. What's going on over there?
She has literally painted the front of her brownstone to look like an Instagram feed. It like literally says the Instagram logo and then her name.
It's one of those like selfie places that like your kids ask you to go to so they can take selfies on their Instagram. She's just that's how she's raised her following. She's just on everyone's Instagram post. Like,
at Cy. Like and subscribe. You can find me at 123 Like and Subscribe Street in Brooklyn.
Wait a minute. I was just looking at the selfie I took at that selfie place, and there's a random lady in the above me in the window.
Her doorbell is actually somehow connected to like getting likes on Instagram. Like, you press it and her likes go up. By the way, I think the irony is
Wait a minute. This doesn't work. Yeah, keep pressing it, stupid. Fucking Manhattanites. Idiots.
How rich is it that you just pointed out that the opening montage is just all the women taking photos of themselves, and then the first thing we hear Cy say is to tell her kids, when they come over, okay, I don't want you guys on your screens.
So Brynn comes over, she's like, oh my God, look at this, it's a lady of the house with shaking babes, we're such good friends.
And Brynn says, I consider Cy to be like 100% like one of my best friends, and like I like going to her house because like that's like what I want. Like, she's like 100% like living the life that like I want. It's like perfect.
Yeah, like, should I kill her and take her life? Like, it could almost turn into like a psychodrama. Like, I'm Cy.
lady, you know you're on camera, right?
So she gives gifts to the kids. That's how you know that she's a new friend. She can say that they're best friends all they want to, but no best friend brings gifts all the time for the kids. That's fucking ridiculous. And yes, we'll all be broke if we had to do that every time. I'll barely go to their house anyway because they all know that I have gum and they try to take it. My kids look at me. I'm like a big walking Mentos dispenser. They know what I've got and they're going to get it from me.
So then meanwhile, up in Washington Square Park, Uba and Aaron meet up. And Uba's like, oh, you look so beautiful. And Aaron's like, you look so chic. I'm saying that as a real New Yorker to someone else. And she's like, I had the craziest morning. I woke up. I had my celery juice in the morning. I had my coffee. And woke up, celery juice, coffee, you know. And, you know.
But she says, yeah, the craziest morning. Because I woke up and you know how I have my celery juice.
Like, that's not the craziest morning part. Not that would be that crazy, but still, I just like, it's like, you know, I brush my teeth, have my celery juice, then I have my coffee, you know. So anyway, let me get to the crazy part.
Oh, wait, is that when your son accidentally drank your celery juice? I die about it. Anybody else hear this boss bitch celery story? Dead about it.
What an outrageous group we are telling these hilarious stories. So anyway.
I'm gog.
I'm gagging too on celery juice. So the letter from the teacher, guess what? After he accidentally drank my celery juice, the teacher wrote me a letter that said, hi, Aaron, Elijah had blowout diarrhea. And then I texted the group and said, this is what happens when you give your kids celery juice. I gag and die at this boss bitch celery juice. Oh, my God.
And Uba, the gorgeous supermodel, is like, oh, that's why I don't even touch a celery juice. I like to keep my food. I pay for it. Why would I get rid of the food? Like, I need proof. I need proof, Batman. So Sai, by the way, does celery juice do that? Celery juice just sounds so stringy and dangerous.
I would not think that celery juice would do that. I think that's, I don't want to make any authoritative stances on celery juice because we're on a platform and words matter, but, I would not think that.
Commercials, here comes one right now.
So, let's see. So Sai and Brynn are hanging out waiting for Jessel, and then Jessel is with her mom, Nimam, and the kids are in the back seat. They're driving over this bridge, right? Her mom, amazing. She looks like so elegant. She's still dressed in Jenna Crew.
Jessel's hoping it becomes Jessel Crew someday. She's like, late at night, she's like, someday it will be Jessel Crew.
So she's with her mom, and she's like, so kids, this is your first time on the Brooklyn Bridge. Do you even care? And she's like, I have two gorgeous twin boys. I call them the human equivalent of coffee. They don't sit still, and really, you only do it.
You only pay attention to them in the morning.
The only reason you get one, the only reason you even notice them every day is because everyone else is doing it and you feel like you should eventually do it. But really, you know, it's just like a path to taking great shit on the table, isn't it?
You know what? My children are like the human form of coffee. I embrace them in the morning, but by evening, I don't want to be anywhere close to it.
So one of her kids is named Rio, and one of Sai's kids is named Rio. Rio's a very popular name.
It's the new Cruz. Rio is the new Cruz.
That's a big name.
Yeah.
So then we get a clip of her kids throwing powder all over the place and crawling all over her couches and screaming. And she's got two white couches. I don't trust Jessel.
No, absolutely right? Not. First of all, her children are disasters. They are they're little lunatic disasters. If they are human coffee, then I don't even know where I'm going to go with that. But like, if they're human coffee, like, this is bad for the coffee industry. They are wild, wild little
beasts.
They're
wildlings. They're wildlings. And here's why I don't trust her. Not because her kids suck, but because she's got white couches with those babies. And I'm like, nobody trustworthy buys those couches. Like, you just, basically, I feel like you're just shitting all over the world. Like, no one, those couches aren't, what are you doing? Like, I don't know what to even say. I'm so perplexed by it.
Also, I need Jessel to have, like, to be consistent with her monstrosity-ness. Like, I think, like, her apartment which we will get to, is gorgeous, but sterile and severe, and you don't feel like you could ever be comfortable in it. It's like you can see that everything in her life is perfectly manicured and severe, but like children totally unkempt. Like, I don't know why Jessel doesn't have them in their own separate room that they're not allowed to come out of, and this is like where they play and they live, you know? And so I'm not saying that's a good way to raise children, but I'm just saying I would like Jessel to see her personality all the way through to each room. But like having these children run wild.
I don't trust the setting of her life because it's not ringing true. You know what I mean? The set, mm-hmm. I think she has like barf in her hair and stained clothes and like Roseanne's couch from the TV show Roseanne. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that was it until she got cast. And then she's like, I want a rounded white sofa because we've got a rounded room and I will have it looking rounded. Also, I want everything from like, she has the most expensive, thick, really thick, chunky, like wooden kind of plates. Like, they look raw stone. You know, like she has all everything in there just looks kind of.
Not too brand new. It doesn't look like lived. That's what I'm saying. I guess that's what I was trying to say. It feels like there is like some cognitive dissonance, but like the someone who creates this very untouched world and yet has children who are like wild and all over the place, which I know is actually probably the realest thing about her. But I want her to be a monster in all forms of her life. And I feel like she actually, her mom doesn't even normally look like that. She made her mom get like a nice like makeover, and the mom is like, well, you made me over, and now what? Now I'm like the nanny? How could you do this to me?
Yeah, she's using her mom as the nanny, totally. I said absolutely fabulous. I'm sorry, I have to tell this. I'll tell it really quick, though. There's this one episode where she has a friend coming over who's just, everybody looks up to this friend. She's a real boss bitch, Bettina, all right? So Bettina's coming. And it's like, Bettina's so modern. And we see them meeting Bettina years ago, and everything was white and sleek and like this house. And then Bettina finally arrives. This is the episode where she's like, I want everything off the counters, all right? This is what I don't want to see. Things on places, all right? Remove this. So Bettina finally comes, and she's got kids now, and she's a mess. She's a slob now. Everything's like, kids are barfing everywhere. The kids barf on Adina, and she's like, La Croix, baby spew, darling. La Croix, baby. Oh, sorry, I just hit the mic. But you get it. So she's basically like trying to be Bettina, but Bettina's already had the children's, and she's still trying to be the old Bettina. You know what I mean? I need messy Bettina. I don't need old Bettina with babies.
Literally, I mean, let's also not forget that Jessel literally barfed all over the premiere. She is Bettina, it turns out.
So that's what I'm... She's just a disaster. You can read it everywhere. It's the large flower on her shoulder in the diary room session. It's the barfing all over the premiere. It's about having a whole new house of brand new furniture that makes no sense for her lifestyle in her house. She's a disaster. And I have such high hopes for her.
I really like this theory, and I'm going to lean into it. So Jessel says, I met Sai and Breen in the fashion and publicity world, which, I don't know, that just sounds fun. I don't know why that sounds so funny to me, the fashion and publicity world.
What does that mean? It does sound fun. Like, I need specificity, you know? Like, did you take an ad in the back of the fucking, I don't know, Village Voice? Like,
but it also
so many, it ranges, you know? It's such a range.
But by the way, a legitimate issue or concern I have is that this group definitely feels like they're cobbled together from casting, right? And that's like one, that is definitely like a red flag, you know, because we like groups that have, you know, real, like real friendships. And so when she says, oh yes, I know them from the fashion and publicity world, I'm like, you don't know them. But by the way, I also want to say one thing in defense of this show. One thing that happened before this premiere was that there was another cast member, Lizzie Savetsky, and she ultimately was fired. And so it looks like this is all going forward from that point. But they had already filmed a lot with Lizzie. And I will say that every Bravo show that has started as either it was supposed to be something else, like, you know, the way Potomac was supposed to be something else, Miami was supposed to be something else, and they changed it to Housewives, or where they've had to, like, film stuff after someone's fired and kind of like restart the season almost midway through, like Salt Lake City last season, has always suffered in my eyes. And I actually don't blame the show for that. That's just like, that is just like the unfortunate way things happen. So I wonder also if I'm picking up on that energy too, Ronnie.
Well, actually, I think that helped it because one of my thoughts was this, because I kept thinking, where's this horrible Lizzie person? You know, she seems fucking awful. She got fired for being awful. Her husband's apparently really awful. So I thought maybe we would see her and that would be part of the drama, would be her getting fired or losing it or spiraling. But it looks like they just completely learned their lesson. They're like, we're trying to fix things with this Real Housewives of New York. We are not starting on this note with the new cast. So they got rid of her and they started all over. But I think it helped because I think that these ladies actually know each other now. Because obviously they are cobbled together, but they at least know enough about each other to have fights already going on and be annoyed with each other. And they're getting on each other's nerves already. And I think that every Housewives show should have to shoot for 6 months to warm up, you know, just a bunch of shit you're never going to use.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that there's merit in that, but I think the big fight that we haven't even gotten to yet, that all happens off camera, and you sort of feel like, oh, I bet this was on camera at one point, but they can't show it because of this, you know?
Yes.
Things like that.
I got that.
So I'm wondering if that was also something that contributed to me not having like as positive of reaction, because I'm like, you know, I'm an empath. I'm a production empath. And, you know, I feel things, you know?
I felt that, Chiron. I really felt that, Chiron.
Yeah, I felt that change of mandate on the show. So anyway, so Jess is telling us how Sai is a content creator and one of the most respected in the industry. And she goes, I would buy everything that she posts, which is why I have this new house of white furniture that my children will not destroy. I command it.
That's why I've put on the outside of my window the film that makes it look like trees to take a picture against, but it's really a see-through window where you get me in your shot.
I don't understand that, but I liked it.
I'm trying to reference Sai's stupid stoop that people stopped to take pictures in front of and she's like, but it didn't make any sense. Right, this is why I've got a boxing robe with the name Sai on the back. That actually probably makes more sense.
I'm sorry.
No, it was my bad. I'm just kind of doggy paddling around this pool.
Okay,
know what to do.
But by the way, I did like when Brynn said, this was a point for Brynn. Point for Brynn when she goes,
science kids, I'm like, my ovaries are flipping, and I'm ready to get like knocked up yesterday. Jessel's kids, I'm like, eh.
I was like, okay, I really respect someone for going on TV and saying, your kid's good, your kids suck. I respect that. I really respect that out of Brynn.
So then we cut back to Uba and Aaron, who are still talking in the park, and they're talking about the other girls. Uba's like, oh, so did you see the other girls? And she's like, yeah, you know how I'm feeling about it. I'm still real salty about that night. And it's like, dun, dun, dun. So we get our first problem of the season. Yeah. And Aaron's like, listen, I don't even care if people like have different plans, but like it was like, if we should go do something together, we should do something together. So like I made plans to do something together.
So Aaron tells us, so the girls and I wanted to get together for dinner. It was a huge group, okay? And nothing was available. It was last minute, so I picked a beep, and they just beep. I was like, wait. But all you hear is a k, and then a beep. K-beep. So, of course,
everyone's saying catch, right?
Catch. Yeah, everyone's saying it's catch New York City.
Oh, it's just so good to know that that place is a dumpster of C-list losers, too, because the L.A. one definitely is.
Well,
my God, what a douche pit.
Not only that, but I'd love also that, like, they can't even say the name. Like, there'll be some sort of either ramifications. Does NBC Universal have a stake in Catch or something like that? Or is it because it's celebrity-backed that the NBC doesn't want to get in trouble with celebrities? Like, sorry.
I don't know. They don't want the Catch slander.
Yeah.
So Aaron's like, yeah, I mean, I would go with anyone to a local bar. Like, who cares where we go? You liar, because you're the snob about who's really from Manhattan and who's not. Don't act like you're just going to go sit in the Applebee's. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe it.
Yeah. And don't act like Catch was the only place you could find. I'm sorry. It's a big city. And if you are like a boss bitch, you could make sure there would be space for you no matter what. So like this Catch thing, this is not ringing true. You have bad tastes. And your friends called
you on
it.
You think Catch is cool. Yeah, Catch is cool. Yeah. You're like, well, they're all influencers. Where should I take them? Catch. And they're like, that's so over.
Here's what probably happened. I just developed an on-the-fly theory. she knows someone who works at Catch, let's say. And then she's like, hey, I'm doing a TV show. How about we just like come in and we'll shoot the show at your restaurant? Like, oh, that's great. And we'll just like comp your meal. Yes. Okay, we're going to do that. So they arrange this whole thing. And then people don't show up. And now it's a drama. But she's like, well, we can't. We're because my friend did this, like pulled this favor for us. I don't want to like be bad, like talking bad about the restaurant. We got this free food. So Erin demands that they bleep out Catch. That's my theory.
Okay, I like it. I'll go with it.
It's a really inconsequential theory in life, but that's my theory.
That's okay. You know, these are inconsequential fights, which is why they're so good. So she's like, the restaurant used to be the hottest restaurant in New York, and it's easy to get to. It's convenient, but you know what? Like, Bryn ditched the group and with Cy, and then they posted in the group chat that they were at Cipriani. I mean, that was hurtful. Like, it's just very obnoxious, and it's like, hurtful also. Like, I'm hurt.
So hurt that they bailed on the dinner at Catch. So Erin didn't like that they weren't up front. And, you know, because they apparently said they were tired and they were going home. And Jessel's like, but I thought that they did give him. So now we go to Cy's house.
Jessel's a fucking liar, too. Like, she didn't see the group chat. They were bragging about it. They were on the group text posting that they went to another restaurant. That's why it's so funny to me, because it's obviously them being dicks to her on purpose, you know? Yeah. Like, this Bryn girl is obviously trying to trigger her. Which is why I like Bryn. I think it's hilarious. And it worked. She's like, how dare they ditch us at Catch?
So now we go back to Cy's house where the women are still talking. And Bryn tells Jessel, like, sorry, I kind of bailed on that dinner. And Cy's like, yeah, she bailed with me. And Bryn's like, well, I didn't know how to say I wouldn't be caught dead at Catch, especially with your children, Jessel. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to say that out loud.
And Jessel, the publicity person, is like, wait, it's not 2006 then? She's like, no, like, it's not even like 2005. And I'm not a D-list model either. So.
Now, listen, you are a reality star on Bravo, so don't start throwing stones in your Catch house, okay? So, Cy's.
But also, I thought this was funny because apparently, from reading all the controversy today on the internet, Catch opened in like 2011 or 2012 or something. So, Jessel's like, wait, it's not 2006. I was like, oh, yeah, you're really up to date, Jessel, with everything hip and trendy. Wrong fucking year by a decade. Loser.
Have some historical accuracy in your disses, okay?
I mean, for real. And then Bryn just, I guess, exaggerates it more to like save her because they're friends right now. So. Yeah.
So Cy's like, well, I mean, is it bad that I didn't go to bleep? And Bryn's like, I mean, Olive Garden to me is like chicer. They have like good breadsticks. They like slop.
Yeah, but that's like high-low, but there's this like a thing with like teenagers.
And, why does Cy say Catch is good for teenagers? I think I don't know.
She does because they're just.
Why are they talking only teenagers like Catch? Okay, I get that's what they're saying. Yeah, I couldn't read my own notes.
Yeah, because you are like you're on Long Island. It's prom night. You go into the city for the prom, something exciting like that, and then like you go on the Circle Line for prom, and then afterwards you're like, let's go to Catch because we've heard about it. So yeah, it is good. I literally can see teenagers going to it.
Yeah, so
I'm not saying that's what my prom experience was like, but it was not unlike a prom experience I had.
Mine was like this. Thank you for being a friend. Traveling down that road and back again. Peanut M&M's, delicious. Erin, back to Erin and Uba. So then Erin and Uva, Erin's like, who cares where we are as long as we're together? And she's like, yeah. And then Jessel told me the night we went out that she had heard that they were talking about me, and that doesn't feel right.
She didn't like that. And Uva's like, I think it's very mean. So Bryn, we go back to Bryn, and she goes,
Erin says that she's been like distancing herself from you, Cy, because like you rubbed her a little wrong. Like, my words, not hers. And Cy's like, oh, apparently I'm like an awful human being who just happens to have a very beautiful boxing jacket that she wears with her name on it. Sorry.
And so I was like, Aaron and I have like similar friends and we run in the same circles for a few years now. And I can tell you this, Aaron's always arguing with or mad at somebody. So now it's seeming like Aaron is the common denominator in all of this. So Bryn's like, supposedly? So I was like, supposedly? Like, cheese, what's that? So I was like, yeah, about her charcuterie board. Like a charcuterie board.
She goes,
like,
whatever. Her charcuterie board. I was like, So Bryn's
Bravo.
Like,
it's a Bravo pronunciation right there.
So then Bryn goes,
This is me doing Aaron telling the story. Okay, everyone get ready. Okay. Okay, so Sai comes over and she's like, what's that? And she's like, that's cheese. And supposedly Sai goes, oh, you eat cheese? And Aaron's like, is that not cool? And apparently Sai goes, that's weird.
Thanks for the full illustration of the stories, Bryn.
So then Sai is like, I did not have a mouth of cheese and champagne and nuts and cheese. Like, listen, like... Wait, did I not have a mouthful of cheese and champagne and nuts and cheese? Why would I diss the cheese? And she's like, I didn't. I ate the cheese. And she's like, I remember eating the cheese. I ate more cheese than everybody else ate the cheese. Like, I'm from Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, we love cheese.
I remember being on, like, Flatbush Avenue, ordering cheese at stores. Like, and then looking into, like, townhouses and being like, someday I'm going to have cheese on a table like that. And now people look in my townhouse and they see me eating cheese and they want to be me. So I know all about cheese.
Yeah. Like, take me all the way up in that glass cheese elevator. You know what I'm saying? Like, I win. So then Bryn's like,
yeah, but like, why wouldn't you just lie about that? That's weird to me. Like, seriously, she's lying about cheese?
So then we cut back to Aaron, and Aaron's like, okay, well, how do you feel about tonight? And Uba's, of course, like, all positive. She's like the positive force in the group. So she's like, I'm just so excited to see everyone. We're an exciting group of girls, that's for sure. We're not boring. We're so fun. What a group of fun boss bitches having fun.
What was this all about? She's like, we are an interesting group of people, right? We, like, you can't handle our energy. Stay home. I'm like, oh, this energy about fighting over cheese. But I do love a fight over cheese. But I just love Uba all in the middle of the show just saying, hold on, Aaron. What you're saying I know is good, but they need something for the marketing. What an exciting group of people we are.
I love also that you've turned her into, like, Mario from Supermarket.
Mamma mia.
What an exciting group of girls we are. My mother made the sauce.
The accents will take a moment to congeal.
Oh, it's going to take a while. Yeah, it's also a new York. We need time. Okay, we need time. So yeah, she's like, if you can't handle this energy, stay home.
Well, we did it again. We wound up talking for way too long, so we've decided to split this episode into a two-parter. So this is the end of part one, and part two will be up in just a little bit. Be sure that you're subscribed to Watch Our Crap on whatever platform you're listening to, so that way the episodes just come rolling in on their own into your feed, and you don't have to seek anything out. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode. Bye!
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Happens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.